Yesterday, we were telling you about a new survey showing that 1 in 12 drivers in Washington State still uses cell phones while they're on the road. And it's not just on the road that people are overusing their electronic devices. Alex Soojun Kim Pang's new book, The Distraction Addiction, takes a closer look at that. He thinks there's a better way. He calls it contemplative computing. Alex is a senior consultant at Strategic Business Insights, a consulting and research firm. He also has an academic appointment at Stanford University and Oxford University. Alex, thanks for stopping by today.
Thanks very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
As you point out, we're not the first to be concerned about distraction. There's this Buddhist concept of the monkey mind.
Yeah. So this is it's the mind or the part of the mind that is always jumping from one subject to another, that can't sit still, that always needs some kind of stimulation. And I open the distraction addiction with a story about the monkey mind, because I want to make the point that this is a problem that humans have been dealing with actually for thousands of years. It's easy to think of ourselves as sort of driven to distraction by smartphones and the web and social media, but really this is an issue that we have been aware of for a very long time, and we've also been aware of tools to help deal with it.
And that's where we get to your idea of contemplative computing. But you sketch out some of the problems that I had not even been aware of. We know how annoying it is to try to talk to someone who's looking at their phone. And we've heard of sleep apnea, but you talk about something called email apnea.
Yeah. Well, it's another version of an apnea where Linda Stone, who's a Microsoft, former Microsoft executive, noticed a few years ago that lots of people, when they're checking their email on their smartphones, hold their breath. And the problem with that is that it triggers a fight or flight response. It makes you a little bit more defensive when you're reading the message, and therefore is likely to make your communications just a little, you know, a little tiny bit harsher. Now, this is not something that any designer anticipated or tried to program into the into an email program, but it is a kind of natural way that, or mindless way that we interact with our devices. But fortunately, it's, you know, as with many of these problems, it's something that once we're aware of, we can learn to control and to overcome.
And in fact, you have a chapter called Breathe. I guess mm-hmm. Breathe while you're looking at your email is a very simple way to evoke it.
You know, everyone breathes. It is something that once you learn to be aware of and you learn to control, has all kinds of positive physiological effects. And it's also a very good place to begin to examine your own relationship with your devices, with your smartphones and your information technologies. Because once you start to pay attention to how you breathe when you're checking your mail or opening a document, you begin to be aware of other kinds of interactions or other kinds of effects that you have, and begin and take those first steps toward being able to deal with those as well.
You write that today's information technologies cause us pain for a couple of reasons. One is their fault. The technologies are poorly designed. And then part of it's our fault. They're thoughtlessly used. What about the first part? What do you mean they're poorly designed?
Well, in the sense that smartphones, for example, behave a bit like clever four-year-olds. In their default state, they want to share everything immediately. Every message is urgent, whether the contents of the message is the hamster is running on the wheel or there's a fire in the kitchen. They don't have a very good sense that we need some time to ourselves sometimes. And so one of the things that we can do, these programs, these technologies are designed this way because companies realize that our attention is very, very valuable. It's valuable to us, of course, but it's also valuable to advertisers, to gamers, to game companies. And so we are in a battle now, not just for our dollars or space in our houses, but for the space in our minds.
So are you suggesting that there could be some technology that would be better at curating all this stuff that's coming at us to keep us from being so distracted?
Absolutely. One of the chapters in the book talks about a set of programs, kind of software called Zenware, which are designed to do A couple things. And one of them is to regulate sort of your access to the web in positive ways so that you can work without without being distracted or self-distracted by YouTube or Facebook. There are another set of technologies that help you do things like write without the sort of being able to play around endlessly with formats and margins and other things. It's just a simple, it's the closest that a screen can produce to a simple blank piece of paper that sort of you write on. And for plenty of writers, that turns out to be a really valuable thing. Another category of software are programs that you can use that help you with, for example, guided meditations or breathing exercises or, you know, remind you to even do something as simple as get up and stretch every now and then. In other words, they help take these technologies that often help distract us and turn them into technologies that help remind us a little bit to be calmer.
Okay, so maybe technologies can keep some of these distractions away, but there's kind of an expectation in our culture that we will be responsive. If I'm texting you madly, Alex, and you're not responding, I'm going, Alex is not paying attention to me. Alex is blowing me off here. What's going on? I mean, how do you change people's expectations of how accessible others will be so that they're not constantly distracted?
That is a big problem. And there are a couple answers. One of them is to recognize that some of that expectation is self-generated. You know, plenty of people are online constantly hitting the refresh button on their email, either out of a sense that they have to appear busy. They have to sort of perform busyness because they are either indispensable to their jobs or out of a kind of terror that they'll be discovered to be redundant. It often turns out that a pause is valuable both as a way of gathering your own thoughts and giving yourself a little space, but it also is more often than we realize.
I don't care though, Alex. I'm texting you and I'm getting annoyed.
Yeah, true. Okay, but I think dealing with other people's sort of assumptions is That is a big challenge. And it's something that often you have to just confront directly.
Just say, bug off, Ross. Don't expect me to respond to you
in the nicest possible way.
Right.
You know, but the good thing is that sort of the way that you can do this in a positive way is to say, I'm working on this other thing right now, but I can give you my exclusive attention later. And that, especially in an age like this, is a great gift. It also sets up the expectation that later on, at some point, when I'm texting you, you have the right to reciprocate. You have the right with me to claim a little bit of your own privacy, a little bit of your own mind. And that is not blowing someone off. That's a gift.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good thing.
Finally, we've talked about some of the technology dealing with others' expectations, but I think you're also talking about modification of a lot more of our own activities than we've already discussed when you mean contemplative computing. What are some of the other things we should be conscious of?
So I think the biggest one is recognizing that connection is inevitable, but in today's modern world, but distraction very often is actually a choice. It's one that we make sometimes consciously, sometimes mindlessly, because of the way the patterns and habits that we've fallen in with our devices. But we have a lot more opportunity than we realize to change those behaviors. Now, a couple quick examples of how you do that. One of them is, it's really valuable to take a week and track how much time you spend on Facebook, how many times you check your email and so forth.
A digital inventory.
Exactly. And, everybody who does this starts by feeling like, if only I had another half hour in the day, I could do whatever. And it turns out very often you do have that time. You're just frittering it away, spending more time reading your messages than you expect.
That is such a great idea. It's like you start adding up how much money you spend going out to eat. You realize, oh my God, you're not even conscious of how you're spending your money. And often you're not even conscious of how you're spending your time on
Absolutely.
All this. Alex Soo-Jun Kim Pang's new book is called The Distraction Addiction. And he talks about ways, both technological and personal, we can deal with all these devices that kind of steal our lives away in some ways. Thank you so much for stopping by, Alex.
Thanks. It was great.